We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. It's Friday and Monday is 4th of July. Long weekend for everybody. Currently, according to the Elk City Bezidet, it's 95 degrees. Heat index is 96. Humidity is 33. South-southwest winds, 12 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 21. And I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you later on the show. According to the Gabe Gadget weather station here at the radio station, it's 91.4 degrees, humidity's at 36, and winds in Elk City are actually at 6.5 miles an hour. I don't know if you guys know where the Elk City Mesonet station is. It's out west of town. It sets up on top of the hill, so you're going to have stronger winds there than you will like here in Elk City in the urban environment. Let's see who's winning the race today for hottest hot spot. It's not Altus. Altus actually is one of the cooler spots. Altus is at 92, Hollis is at 95, Mangum's at 95, Hobart's 93, and the cool spot in our listening area is Canadian, Texas, and Arnett, and we're at 90 degrees. It looks like the cool spot in the whole state of Oklahoma is at Kenton, Oklahoma, up there in, what is that? Is that Beaver County, Cimarron County, whatever county that is? Just about as far west in the Oklahoma Panhandle you can get. It's 80 degrees up there, so it's pretty nice up there, getting some of that cool breeze off the mountains up there. All right, well, let's start out with some markets. I'm going to give you a friendly reminder one more time. Elk City is not going on today, the Elk City Livestock Auction. Hollis will not be happening tomorrow. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will not be happening Monday. Woodward will not be having one next Tuesday. But then again, at Hobart, as Rex Fleming informed me the other day, he will be closed Monday, but they'll be there bright and early Tuesday morning to start receiving some cattle for you for Wednesday's sale at the Hobart Stockyards. So there is your livestock auction lineup for the next 4, 5, 6 days. Actually, I don't even think Woodward's going to have one next Thursday either. Their feeder calf sale, so they're closed next week. But Elk City will be wide open again next Friday, a week from today, and everything will get back to normal starting Wednesday, with the exception of Woodward Thursday, where Hobart Stockyards opens back up. And man, cattle prices yesterday looked awesome. But let's start out with the futures on commodity grains. Corn for July, 756. September, 621. December, 608. Soybeans, July, 1629, August, 1514, September, 1421. Everything is in the red today as far as commodities. Grains, how's that? Soybean meal, July, $459.50 a short ton, August, $423.20. Soybean oil is at 67.89 cents per pound. August is 65.27. Hard red winter wheat, July, $9.15. And hard red winter wheat for September is $9.19. Oats is up actually quite a bit for this coming month, $6.77 bushel, and way down for September at $5.05 a pound. Let me check out cotton while I'm on this page. It's almost at $1.06 a pound. I still haven't heard from my undercover cotton farmer to tell me what's happening with the cotton. Been hanging in there around $1.40 to $1.50 for months. And then all of a sudden, There must have been some USDA report out that I missed. But anyway, I got some cotton stuff coming up for you guys here. Exports and how many bales were sold and some other stuff happening, how many acres sell. We'll have that coming up in the third segment right at the bottom of the hour. Let's check out Oklahoma cash grain prices and Texas. Hard red winter wheat cash is $8.53 a bushel. Corn's at $7.56 and Milo's at $6.59 and soybean cash in Oklahoma and Texas $14.96 a bushel. Well, let's see what's causing all the commotion. You want to? Soybean futures were lower in overnight trading after a government report. I hadn't even read this report, and I knew it had something to do with that. Yesterday showed U.S. farmers planted fewer acres with the oil seeds than previously expected. U.S. producers likely planted 88.3 million acres of soybeans, which is up 1% from last year, but well below the 91 million acres forecasted by the department on the March 31st. Area harvested is forecasted 87.5 million acres, and that's up from the 86.3 million acres last year. Corn acres, meanwhile, were estimated at 89.9 million acres, and that's down 4% year over year, but just ahead of the 89.5 million acres projected in the March 31st report. Acreage is expected to be down or unchanged in 35 of the 48 states in the survey, according to the USDA. Wheat plantings were forecast at 47.1 million acres. That's up 1% year over year. That would be the fifth lowest acres planted with the grain since record keeping started back in 1919. At the end of March, the government expected 47.4 million acres to be planted. So it's down, like I said, just a little bit, not much. Winter wheat plantings are seen at 34 million acres, and spring wheat area was expected at 11.1 million acres. Those estimates are down from the projections of March 31st. Soybean futures for November delivery fell 9¾ cents to $14.48 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal lost 50 cents to $406.20 a short ton, while soybean oil futures dropped 0.91 cents to 63.55 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery was up 3¾ cents to $6.23 a bushel. Wheat for September delivery added 6¾ cents to $8.90 a bushel, while in Kansas City the futures rose 2¾ to $9.54 a bushel. While export sales of corn and beans both dropped to the marketing year lows last week, while wheat sales was modestly higher, according to the USDA. Corn sales in the 7 days that ended up on June 23rd were reported at 88,800 metric tons, the lowest since 2021 marketing year started on September 1st. That's down 87% from the previous week and 72% from the prior four-week average. Japan was the big buyer at 191,900 metric tons, followed by South Korea, Saudi Arabia, Colombia, and El Salvador. The total would have been higher, but as we all know, and I'm saying that B-U-T word so my wife understands that this is the way they wrote it. Jimmy didn't wrote it. This is not Jim Bonnick's. The total would have been higher, but a unknown country canceled cargo shipments of 143,500 tons. Taiwan nixed 61,000. Mexico canceled 33, and Panama cut an order for 22,900 metric tons. Sales for the 22-23 marketing year that starts on September 1st total 119,300 metric tons, and exports for the week rose 9% to 1.25 million metric tons. Soybean sales came in at a negative minus, this is the first time I ever read this in a year, come in at a negative 120,200 metric tons. also the lowest for the marketing year versus sales of 29,300 tons a week earlier. The Netherlands took 149,000 metric tons of soybeans, Japan 49,000, Canada even purchased some at 19,000 tons, Costa Rica bought 16,000, and China was in there for 16,400 tons also. The purchases, however, were more than offset by the cancellations of 288,000 metric tons by an unknown country, 55,000 tons by Pakistan, and 46,000 tons by Italy. For the 22-23 marketing year, sales were reported at 127,600 tons, and exports were up 5% to 517,700 tons, according to the government data. Wheat sales last week came in at 496,700 metric tons. That's up from the 477,000 tons in the prior seven-day period. Philippines came in at 68,000 tons. Brazil took 57,000 tons. Mexico bought 55,000. Yemen was in there for 55, and Italy took 48,000 tons. So exports on the grain for the week came in at 241,400 tons, according to the USDA. Well, heat indexes are forecast to hit the triple digits in parts of eastern Oklahoma and western Arkansas today, though there's a chance of showers in the area this weekend, according to the National Weather Service. There's a potential for isolated to scattered showers and thunderstorms Saturday and Sunday as the moisture moves in to portions of the area from the Gulf of Mexico and a frontal boundary stalls near the Oklahoma-Kansas border. Heat will again rise next week, topping off 105 degrees midweek, and that's what's coming to see us out here in eastern Texas Panhandle, western Oklahoma. I think our first day is Tuesday that we're going to hit the triple digits. It's just going to be hot from here on out for quite a while, and I don't see any rain in the long range of forecast. Storms will continue through the weekend periodically, with the best chance for storms in the area late Sunday into the 4th of July holiday on Monday. Well, there you have it. When I come back, we'll talk about the livestock futures and the feeder cattle and give you a report from Woodward yesterday. They had a lot of cattle at Woodward yesterday, and I'm sure it's because all the stockyards are going to be closed for the next week, more or less. But I was impressed with some of the prices on some of the heavier calves. So anyway, be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I knew I was probably going to try to get a hold of Mickey, and I had been shopping and had the prices. So I had shopped previously before Mickey showed up at the office, and I told him that. And he understood, and he said he wanted to give it a shot. And so he did, and his prices were right. And his coverage was as good or better than what I was, some of the stuff I was shopping. And so that was an easy decision for me because I'd already done the legwork on the other end, but I had been to their places. He shows up at my barn. And so when he was even a little bit cheaper on some stuff the same, it was an easy decision for me because you got a guy there wanting your business. My name is Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
We strive in our cow herd for high-efficiency cattle. We want lots of gain with low input. That's what we strive for. We want our customers to be able to wean the biggest calf without putting much money into that. We try to prove that through our commercial herd, and then if they prove themselves there, then we make them registered, and we chase those bloodlines. Lori White, B&L Red Angus. blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching BNL Red Angus.
With spring planting wrapping up and early summer harvest now underway, have peace of mind knowing you can depend on Western Equipment, your local John Deere dealer, to keep you in the field and running efficiently. With over 100 fully equipped service trucks, we will meet you wherever you are, whenever you need us, with zero unexpected fees or surcharges to worry about. Also, don't forget about our $99 inspections available when bringing in multiple machines. Call your local Western Equipment location today, and we'll have a truck headed your way.
Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. It's heavier steel. They're built better. They're tough. They've got rubber flooring, every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer. They're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18 ply. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Wes ain't joking there. If you guys have never seen a Hughes trailer up close, you need to stop there south of Elk City. It's just right there north of the county barn on Highway 6 on the east side of the road. There's five of them sitting out there, and stop by. You'll see what I'm talking about. Those things are heavy duty, as there is. Currently 96. Heat index is 97. The winds are out of the southwest at 14 with gusts up to 23, 24 miles an hour. And it's drying. If you were have any moisture, it's drying out now. Well, let's check out the livestock market real quick. And one more arrow over, and we're there. Live cattle for August, 134.57, October 140, December 145.97, February is 150.80. Feeder cattle, August 174.35, September 177.42, and lean hogs, July 110.05, August 103.17. and October 89.35. All your livestock there that I just read off are all in the green, with live cattle up probably the most out of everything. Basically all of them up with one plus for the day, so looking good while I'm here. Oil's at 108. It's up a couple, $2 to $3 today. Natural gas is still on a downward trend. It's below $6 per MCF now. So anyway, everything else is basically in the red. Let's check out some of the things from Woodward yesterday, the Woodward Livestock Auction feeder cattle. 3,572 heads sold there yesterday. That's up from 2,155 last week, and last year must have been a holiday week because it was zero sold a year ago. Well, let's check out some of the prices because I was impressed. 379 weight steers were bringing anywhere from 213 to 217. 400 pounders were bringing anywhere from 189 to 203. And then some 500 pounders were bringing 189 to 196. And no matter where you was in the 500 pounds, that's what they were bringing. 600 pounds, check that out. 629, there was a big bunch of 629 was bringing anywhere from 174 to 189, and a huge bunch at 672 brought 170 to 183. Get down in the 700 pound range, and we got 740s bringing up to $174, and 770s 172.50. 872 pounders bringing $1.62. 900 pounds, 159.75. 1,000 pounders, 143.50. So it looked like that was up a little bit. It doesn't sound like it, but I believe it was. And let's check out some heifers, if I can find them. Where did my heifers go? There's my heifers. 380 weights, big bunch, brought $1.75. 376 brought up to $1.95. 425s up to 189, 418s, 192, and those were unweaned. And we got some 480, brought $1.86. 521 weights, 166 to 186. 574 bringing up to $1.70. 615 pounders bringing $1.67.75. 700 pounders looked like they were anywhere from $1.46 to $1.59. 800 pounders up to $1.47, and then got into the 900 pounders, and they were bringing right at 140 on the average. 140.59 was the average, and a lot of these were unwinged, steers included. So yeah, looked pretty good to me. I'd sell cattle at that. So all right, well, what do we got going on next? Oh, anybody looking for some bulls for either doing your fall calving this fall, or need some ready for next spring to get ready? I know where you can find approximately 6 to 8 15-month-old Simmental Angus cross bulls here local. If you're interested, I'm going to describe them to you. They've crossed with Loaded Up, High Regard, and Hammer Down. That's pretty good bull setup there. They're half and half, and if you're interested, give Mr. Lauren Dameron a call at 580-497-6703. He's got about 6 to 8 of them. They're about 15 months old, give or take a month or two either way, and he sent me a video of them, and they look nice. So if you're looking for a good bull cross between a Simmental and Angus, give this man a call, Lauren Dameron, 580-497-6703, and he'd be glad to show you the bulls. And according to the video I just told you about, they're pretty nice bulls. Also, the Hammond 4-H and FFA Booster Association are having their fireworks stand out here just north of Love's, out here on 34, going to none other than Hammond, just right there on the highway. You won't miss it. Starting today, they're open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. through the 4th of July. And go out there and support the Hammond Boosters Club with the 4-H and the FFA. They'd appreciate it. And out here south on Merritt Road, south of Hush's West Side, Merritt's got their deal going on at Otis Crane, right there on the east side of the road right before you get to 20th Street. Go support the local Merritt High School team. And then the Elk City Band is right here west of the museum here, not too far from our studio. They've got a big fireworks stand set up there. So support all your kids' things going on. They can use the money, especially with inflation and travel expenses as high as they are nowadays. It's not going to be pretty. When I get back, I got some garden tips for you, and I got some cotton information that you'll be interested in hearing about, how many bales of cotton was exported, what our price is going on, and how many acres they think is planted in the United States, including right here in Oklahoma. Be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, June 24th. 1,062 head were sold. 22 head of steers at 279 brought 540. 4 at 441 brought 192. 8 at 501 brought 173. 6 at 543 brought 179. 10 at 631 brought 176. 3 head of heifers at 213 brought 460. 5 at 525 brought 155. 11 at 568 brought 157.50. 8 at 595 brought 150. 30 at 764 brought 149.50. Butcher cows were 25 to 102. Butcher bulls brought 82 to 128. Bred cows were 750 to 1200. Pairs brought 825 to 1725. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC. Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
On the Gabe Gadget Weather Station here at the studio, we're showing 93.4 degrees, 33% humidity. The winds are now at 9 miles an hour here. Let's check it out. 96 degrees at the mezzanette. Let's see if anybody's getting close to the triple digit yet. As hot as the state of Oklahoma can get. No, looks like 96 is the highest we got going on right now. Hollis, Eric, and Elk City, you're the hot people right now going on. It's just hot in the state. I can't imagine how hot it is over in eastern Oklahoma where everybody's at the lake and it's 90 degrees and there's no wind going on. So I bet it is smoldering hot. Hey, right hot off the press, just came in over the KCO Ag Newsline. You guys, I told you earlier this week about the people from out here at Merritt and Blair and over around Norman, Cleveland County, went to the Grand Island, Nebraska for the National 4-H Shotgun Shooting Championship. Well, guess what? I got some competition results in from you, and I'm so proud of these kids. The Oklahoma team, which was made up of Leighton Freeze and Brigham Barnett, both of Beckham County, and Rustin Frazier from Jackson County, and Evan Andrews, who's from Cleveland County, they come in fifth in the nation. And it was a lot of teams. I'm sure one team from each state. But anyway, that's congratulations. Leighton Freeze secured champion runner-up in the nationwide shoot in a four-way shoot-off. So big congratulations to those kids. If you see them when they get back from Grand Island, be sure and congratulate them. They represented the state of Oklahoma and the state of Oklahoma's 4-H very well. Fifth in the nation. I know that's not winning, but fifth out of that many, you guys don't know how many times they got to shoot those guns. So anyway, again, big congratulations to those kiddos up there, especially the ones I know, Leighton and Bregan. Anyway, it was great to hear that news. Thank you, Mr. Tucker, for sending that to me. And when you text me to in the show, I pay attention because I know it's got to be something important. And I never want to miss news from the creek. Coming to you live from the creek. That's Monty Tucker's blog. Anyway, let's see. Where are we going from here? Let's do the cotton deal. Let me get the cotton deal out of the way because it's on a different page here. All right, sales were real weak this week, but the shipments were strong for cotton. Net export sales for the week ended up on June 23rd, which was last week, was 50,400 bales, and these are 480-pound bales. This brings the total to 2021 sales to about 16.6 million bales. Total sales at the same point of 20 and 21 marketing year was at 17.4 million bales. Total new crop sales are at 4.2 million bales. Shipments for the week were 381,900 bales, bringing total exports to the date at 12.3 million bales compared with 14.8 million bales last year. Within the last least the 2 months remaining in the marketing year, weekly shipments must average about 491,900 bales to reach the USDA projection of 14.8 million bales. So there you go. We got one other thing going on here. All right. In its June acreage report, the USDA estimated 2022 U.S. cotton plantings at 12.48 million acres. That's 11.3% more than in last year. Upland planted cotton is projected to increase 11.10% to 12.32 million acres, with extra long staple producers estimated to have planted 156,000 acres, a 23.3% increase. United States June projection for all 2022 cotton is at 244,000 acres more than its initial estimate released in late March. In the Southwest, let's check out the Southwest. Estimated planting area is projected to increase by 11.9% to 7.78 million acres. That's telling me that the Southwest grows most of the cotton in the United States by looking at that number. Could be wrong. I'm just guessing. Just looking at numbers. What does numbers tell you? Anyway, all the region states are expecting acreages increase from Kansas, expecting the greatest percentage gain of the estimated 130,000 acres planted. That's 18% more than last year. Oklahoma acres are projected at 550,000 acres, which is 11.1% increase, while Texas estimate is at 7.10 million acres, and that's 11.8% increase. There you go. Texas grows a lot of cotton. That's all I got to say. But, man, they're right in the middle of a drought. So I hope things get better for them down there. And we're dry, but at least stuff's green around here for now. You drive down there in Texas, and it is as brown as it gets. When I get back, we're going to have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you. And we're going to talk about that. And then I got some little tips for you on your gardens. Have you guys ever had any slugs in your gardens or snails? Well, I got a little tip for you on that. But before we go to break, I got to remind you of the KECO 96.5 First Annual Wild Plum Jam 2022 Music Fest at Sayre, Oklahoma. It'll be Friday, July the 15th from noon to midnight at the Sayre City Park. Stoney LaRue, Tyler Wilhelm, Michael Martin Murphy, he'll be awesome. Joe Merrick, he'll be awesome. Even Money, Ragland, food trucks, vendors, adult beverages available, free swimming, admission $50 per person. That's for all-day deal. That's from noon to midnight Friday. That's a 12-hour concert for $50. Kids under 12 will be free with adults. Get your wild plum jam and homemade biscuits from 5 to 7 p.m. I got to find out some more details on that. Who's doing the biscuits? Who's done the jam? Where it's going to be stored at up there in case they need a security guard for that. I'll volunteer for that. Friday evening, but buy tickets at any Hutch's C-Store location or maybe purchased online at thesayrechamber.org or at the gate. Remember, only tickets purchased at Hutch's C Stores will be entered in the first annual Sweet and Juicy Sweepstakes. Cash and prizes will be given away all afternoon, and you will have to be present to win that prize. So if you don't answer, they'll go on to the next winner. Anyway, you're listening to Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the Everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, June the 28th, we sold 1,641 cows, both kids. Thursday, June the 30th, we sold 3,572 kids and feeders for a total of 5,213 cows for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 80 up to 93. Thin cows bring 51 to 83. Bulls bring 80 up to 118. 2 to 4 year old bred cows, 900 to 1400. Whether 2 to 4 year old pairs, 1460 to 1550. 5 day year old pairs, 1050 to 1575. On our steer cattle, 350 to 4 weight steers, 213 to 217, 450 to 5 weights, 186 to 203, 5 to 550, 189 to 196, 6 to 650, 174 to 189, 7 to 750, 167 to 174, 8 to 850, 156 to 160, 175, 9 to 950, 158 to 159.75, 1,050 pound steers, 142 to 143 and a half. On our heifers, 19 heifers weighing 380 bring 175, 4 to 450, 179 to 189, 5 to 550, 166 to 186, 6 to 650, 163 to 167.75, 7 to 750, 149 to 159, 8 to 850, 135 to 149 and a quarter, 9 to 950 heifers, 133 to 145 and a half, and 1,100 pound heifers, 121 to 134.50. Better figure what some of these cattle bringing, even the calves off the cow. Very good price, very good sale, both on cows and feeder market, with 6 to 650 steers topping 189, 750 to 8 weight steers topping 172 and a half, 9 to 950 topping at 159.75, and our 5 to 550 steers topping 196. No sale next week, no sale Tuesday, July the 5th, no sale Thursday, July the 7th. Have a good July the 4th. Be thankful you live in America with all the freedoms we have. Thanks again, Jerry Nye, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmandGarden.com.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Okay, let's see here. What do we got? 97 degrees, heat index at 98. We have 31% humidity. Quit baling that hay because you know it's not in case now. You're shattering stuff, so just quit it. Anyway, winds at southwest, or winds are out of the south, southwest at 12 miles an hour. Wind gust up to 20. Today, guess what? It's going to be hot. 99. Tomorrow, 98. Sunday, 98. 4th of July, 98. See the trend? Guess what? Tuesday, it changes. It's going to be 100. And so, anyway, we're just going to have what we got today for the next 5 days at least. Let me switch over here and see if Hobart Farm and Garden doesn't mind me adding on a few days. Wednesday, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms next week. Wednesday night. But 101, 102, 100, 98. Nothing's changing, but there is a little, it wasn't on there earlier. There's a chance of thunderstorms, but we've missed the last three or four, 20% or so. I'm not going to hold my breath on that just yet. So have you ever had any issues of dealing with snails and slugs? I remember when my kids were little, they'd bring out some salt when we had slugs, and they just loved watching melt those slugs. Man, both bosses in the office same day? What's up with that? anyway, slugs and snails are a universal pain in the gardens. That's one nice way of putting it. They are very familiar creatures, except snails carry their house on their back. Roberta Rosetta, she's a retired extension educator at the Oregon State University. She says 99% of snails and slugs found in your garden are not native. Since they thrive in cool, damp areas during the day, Rosetta says one line of defense is to eliminate their hiding places. See if you have woody debris around, containers, anything that they could hide under during the daytime, and it's a good place to look. And if you can hand collect them, often it's just as easy to put them in a can of soapy water and they'll drown within 24 hours, usually. That works very well. Some people use cups of beer buried around the plants. Slugs and snails are attracted to the yeast in the beer and fall in. These are chemicals that can, they are chemicals in the beer that can control them, but be careful because these products may be harmful to pets and kids. In other words, they're going to get into your beer. Barriers around your plants are another option. Copper flashing and screen is often successful. The copper somehow reacts with the critter slime, causing a flow of electricity. That's a new one on me. Snails are and slugs need moisture to function, so you might solve the problem by just letting everything dry out. That ain't happening around my house. If I let the water go for one day, it dies. This is the craziest gardening year I've ever had in my life. I thought I looked like the King Kong of gardens last year with everything I was growing and very successful. And I look like this is my first year this year. I don't know what's going on. I haven't changed nothing. I'm using the same stuff. My ground's tested. I know what's going on. But I said earlier in the week, since my pollinators, my favorite little honeybees, have showed up late last week, my plants are coming alive. So, and then last night, I was listening to a friend of mine from Sayre that lives over there on the south side of the golf course. Said he was having the same problem. The bees showed up a few weeks ago, and his garden has exploded. And that's all we needed was some pollinators. Pollinating your plants is the most important thing in the world, any plant. So I got a smile on my face now with my garden. Yeah, I'm a little bit behind some people, but there's other people having the same problem. So if you don't have any pollinators, bees, for example, around, put out bird baths, some water around your garden, 5-gallon buckets. Bees will hang out in 5-gallon buckets of water. They need something to hydrate with. They're traveling so far to get water right now, if you don't have water around anything, that they're not going to come back and pollinate around your garden. So if you want your pollinators, put some water out. Then bees ain't going to hurt you. Now, when the yellow jackets show up, then you got problems. But honeybees won't help you. Last night, there was probably 100 of them on that water sprinkler I had, and I picked it up and I moved it over about 20 foot. Bees just hung on to it, and I set it down. I didn't get stung one time. And part of it is how you treat things, she said. If you water in the morning versus water in the evening, chances are that you're going to see a great reduction in the amount of damage overnight from slugs and snails, because it will still be wet if you water in the evening. So having things drier again will tend to make things less conducive. If your garden is overrun with snails and slugs, check your you got to change your landscaping. The creatures are not fond of plants with stiff leaves and highly scented foliage. They also won't mulch on lots of different ornamental stuff, like grasses and stuff like that. Anyway, yes, gentlemen text in talking about the blister bugs. The blister bugs have arrived in full force in western Oklahoma. I see them everywhere. And you know what I seen yesterday in my Bermuda grass when I changing the flat on my trailer yesterday morning before I come to do this show? There was an army worm in the grass. I seen an army worm, and we got all kinds. The bugs are here to stay. Anyway, gentleman texted me or messaged me the other day on what to control blister bugs, and Tempo is one of them. I don't know of any homemade stuff like Dawn dish soap or any of that stuff. I have no idea about that, but Tempo will grab them, and you can get them at any of your local farmers co-op and Atwoods. So you got that going on for you. That's all I know about the bugs. And I just hate it when I see those bugs, especially army worms. That's early. I will tell you guys, though, I have got a report, and I've been experimenting with myself. A month or so ago, I had some people on here from Nature's Formula Incorporated out of Kansas and Texas, and I bought a couple gallons of it, and I got the stuff with the Plus B in it. And it's an all-natural fertilizer, basically pink moss, manure, and all kinds of stuff. I had to try it. Some people call stuff like that snake oils and all other stuff. I've tried this, and I don't have a bad bug in my garden. My plants are healthy now. I just applied it last week when my pollinator showed up. And the grasshoppers were along the edge of the garden, and I sprayed along the edge of the garden also. Grasshoppers are gone. And then I got a report from a gentleman up in Roger Mills County that has applied it on his alfalfa, and he's loving it. The increase in the quality or quantity of the hay was slight, but you know, it's just been he put it on last month, but he said it's the first time he's ever swathed his hay, which was, I think, last week. I'd have to look up his text to find out, and there was not one bad bug, worm, anything in his header. And I know how many of you guys have gone out there and swathed hay, and when you get done, the front windshield, your swather, your header, the reel inside, there's just an ungodly amount of bugs and worms crawling all over your header. He showed me a picture of his when he got done, and there was not one bad bug. That Nature's Formula, the Plus B, put something in the plant, because only your bad bugs bite into your plants. Your good bugs don't. They're pollinators, or they're after the bad bugs. And when they bite into the plant, it does something to their system, including grasshoppers, and they go bye-bye. They go night-night permanently. So if you want to check this out for yourself and judge it yourself, 1 gallon is $15, and you dilute it 10 to 1 with water. So it'll go a long ways for your garden. Check it out on your farmland. I know there's some guys around here experimenting with it. And just check it out for yourself. Be your own judge and jury. It's Nature's Formula, Inc., INC.com. Check them out on their website or YouTube videos, and just check it out. I'm just telling you, so far so good on what we got going there. Okay, let's go on to some more gardening, or maybe some more garden. Oh no, I need to tell you guys about this hot off the press. The dreaded U.S. West Coast port labor contract expiration ticks a little bit closer this afternoon, 5 o'clock Pacific time. So what's that, 7 o'clock Central time here. The contract covered more than 22,000 workers at 29 U.S. West Coast ports expires late on Friday, dialing up worries that the labor disruption could roil the nation's battered supply chains, stoke the inflation, and threaten an already weakening economy. The International Longshore and Warehouse Union and the Pacific Maritime Association, PMA employer group, which declined to comment for this report, said in a rare joint statement on June 14th that they were not planning any work stoppages or lockouts that would worsen the supply chain logjams. The matter because was when the contract expires at 5 o'clock Pacific time tonight, so does it no strike clause. By Peter Titchwell, Vice President of Maritime Trade Supply Chain at S&P Global Market Intelligence, said, "History suggests a last-minute extension is not likely. The union in November rejected a one-year contract extension, saying its members have already granted a three-year extension to the current contract." So the National Retail Federation, which represents companies like Walmart, Target, and the Agriculture Transportation Coalition, which includes citrus, hay, and nut exporters, are among the industry groups pressing for a quick agreement. Meanwhile, wary shippers are not taking any chances. They are routing cargo away from the West Coast to avoid potential labor-related slowdowns, particularly at the nation's busiest seaport, which is at Long Beach and Los Angeles, that handles nearly $500 billion worth of cargo per year. They are driving up their costs and contributing to backups at the ports in New York, New Jersey, Savannah, and Houston. So I'm just giving you a little heads up. Somebody's getting ready to throw some more logs on the fire. I'm afraid it's just not good. Anyway, what do I got on the text line here? I got a Facebook deal. I can't look that up while I'm on the air. So anyway, sorry about that, Audie. I can't look that up. And any. All right, let's see here. Oh, this weekend, try this out. Grilled T-bone steaks with barbecue rub. Easy, easy ingredients. You get two beef T-bone steaks or porterhouse steaks, whichever you want. Cut 1 inch thick, equals about 2 pounds of meat. This rub is pretty cool. 2 tablespoons of chili powder. 2 tablespoons of packed brown sugar. 1 tablespoon of ground cumin. 2 teaspoons of minced garlic. 2 teaspoons of apple cider vinegar, 1 teaspoon of Worcestershire, I said that right, didn't I? Sauce, and 1/4 teaspoon of ground red pepper. Easy to do. Just combine all those ingredients that I just told you. Press evenly on the beef, on the T-bone steaks. You don't have to season the bones. The bone's not going to taste any better with the seasoning or not. So anyway, it says, place steaks on a grid over medium ash-covered coals. Grilled covered 11 to 16 minutes over medium heat or preheated heat on a gas grill. 15 to 19 minutes for medium rare, 145 degrees. Medium's 160. Turning them occasionally. Remove the bones and carve steaks into slices if desired. Season with salt as desired. Now, if you're like me, when I get my beef done, I have it boned out. So I've already got that filet and that Kansas City strip laying right there. Anyway, there's your, try it out. Chili powder, brown sugar, cumin, garlic, minced garlic, apple cider vinegar, Worcestershire sauce, and red beef, red pepper. Rub it on there. Give it a try. I might try it this weekend. You never know. Anyway, you guys have a happy Independence Day. Thank anybody that helped us keep our 4th of July. And be careful with the fireworks. Don't start any fires out there. And I'll see you Tuesday. Our show won't be happening Monday, and I'm sorry.
The biggest songs from the biggest stars. Which way will the country go? I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News. That's the question President Biden is asking during a virtual forum with Democratic Governor.